Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
A toast to the good life, DA aliens. This is EJ Stewart. You are listening to the best of the DA show coming at you right now.
Happy Thursday, North America. The mothership, yes, has connected. Welcome to 4 hours of out-of-this-world sports nonsense. It's day four of the DA-cation. So again, it's Bogish and EJ, joined today by Greg, the hot guy, Caserta, and Ryan Betcher, live from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. On CBS Sports Radio, the free Odyssey app, the CBS Sports app, and SiriusXM channel 158 from Anaheim to Chicago, Ann Arbor to Albuquerque, Kalamazoo, and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, DA. Everything we saying, DA. Everything.
And just like that, it is Thursday, day four of this week without the boss. He returns from vacation on Monday. Hard hat guys, myself and EJ, if I don't say so myself, here for the fourth day of the 4 days and still scheduled to appear tomorrow. We have lost Pete the Body Bilotti for the rest of the week, and we are now officially on Pete watch. Pete, if I go back in time, when DA announced that he was finally taking this week off, we had a meeting, myself and Pete and our boss, David Marinick, about how we're going to handle things, who was available, who could do updates. EJ's going to produce, and trying to be as little maintenance as possible, I said, as long as I got Pete for 5 days looking at me, laughing at my jokes, I'm good.
Yeah.
Pete nodded, fine by me, I'll see ya. Let's get to work. I'm not lying. The next morning, text from Bilotti. So I've got a lot of DA interviews. I'm going to take off next Thursday and Friday, switch off into interview mode, so you've got Ryan on the board. It wasn't even, I don't even think it was 12 hours. It certainly wasn't 24 hours of me going, I just need Pete. Pete going, you got me. And then Pete going, you got me for 3 out of 5 days.
A real man of his word there.
I mean, seriously. If there's one thing Pete has, it's commitment and integrity. But what we're looking for this morning, two things, is the arrival time. Because when Bilotti swaps into boss mode, when he has one of these office days, he still kind of comes in on the early side because he refuses to take mass transit. So he's got to drive here. So he's got to drive here early to avoid mayhem, normal morning Manhattan traffic. So how soon into the show will we see Pete? And since today is full boss Pete, what will Pete be wearing today? Because off the air, I think only off the air, he has criticized some of the interviewees for a lack of correct attire for such an interview. So now that he is not splitting his day between interviews and board op, does he come in more fancier executive wear today?
Okay, so let's break this down in parts. Time-wise, based on our conversation after the show yesterday, he said he was going to try and get here around 8 o'clock. So that's what we'll set the bar at right now. The only time he came in studio yesterday during one of our breaks was to tell us that said interviewees do not dress up properly for their in-person interviews.
Yeah.
That people don't wear suits anymore.
Yes.
And he admired those that do.
And in true Pete fashion, one of my favorite parts of Pete is Pete begins a conversation with you in Pete's head when you're not there. And then he comes and finds you and picks up where he left off in his head. So the interaction Greg is describing, Pete walked in and just said, first words of his mouth, people don't wear suits anymore. And I had to go, what are we talking about? Because he had already had the beginnings of that thought and that conversation on his walk in, but didn't start at the beginning with us. He began with, people don't wear suits anymore. And I didn't know what that meant.
I like the intrigue of how he goes about his conversations, and you've broken him down psychologically very
He's
well.
He's my favorite.
Because it is a fascinating case study, because that's exactly how it happened. But it's also good because he knows that he now has you drawn in.
Yeah.
It leads to a follow-up question. It allows him to elaborate without being preachy or soapboxy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really brilliant form of making conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, dare I say, it's a cold open.
It kind of is.
It's a rather cold open. And I think attire-wise, I'm thinking button-down, pair of slacks.
Yeah, we're going to get slacks. We're going to go loafers.
Have I ever seen him wear loafers?
I think that's his dress shoe of choice.
Okay.
So we're going to go along.
Hey, he loafs.
We're going to go along that route for Pete. And when he gets here, he gets here.
I was going to say, when it comes to time, when I talked to him yesterday, just kind of reconfirming everything. So I said, so you're not in tomorrow? He's like, so I see you. He said, no. Well, he said, yes, you'll see me. But then he emphasized later.
Yeah.
So when I heard the later part, I thought, okay, this isn't going to be anything before 9 o'clock.
So if you're listening, the last thing on this, if you're listening and you have not yet had your initial interview with Pete and Spike Eskin, for Pete's sake, I would put a jacket on. That seems to be what he's most noticed is missing, is a jacket. Because I was actually going to compliment guys, because you know what's going on when you see a guy who normally is wearing a t-shirt and jeans or shorts, and he's got the button down and the khakis on. You go, oh, that's interview day. And that's happened at least three times already in the last 2 weeks. But Bilotti wants even more than that. Bilotti wants jacket. I don't think you need a tie to impress Pete. But if you want to impress Pete, you got to at least throw a sport jacket on.
Yeah, I think that's an easy ask. Now, if you want to be bold and be different, wear something wacky.
No.
Wear a t-shirt that has your nickname on it, like the asset.
Now, my question is, when it comes to decisions not to wear a suit or a jacket from some of the candidates, does that have anything to do with the prior person who held this position? Are people maybe seeing who was in this position saying, well, there's no way that guy showed up in a suit and tie?
I don't think people are that smart. I think you're giving people way too much credit. I think that they look at how people dress when they're here.
Right.
When everybody works here and nobody dresses up. That's really what it boils down to.
And not to dismiss and belittle our profession, but it is a radio job. So I feel like when you're normally dressed like the slobs we are today, and you go just pants and a shirt, you're really up in the ante. Like, that is a big jump up from the normal procedure around here. I would not have expected anybody to have a jacket on, but again, I'm not Pete. And Pete's mind works on a level that mine does not when it comes to being a boss. That's why he's him and I'm not on his level. Now, I'm not in these interviews because it wouldn't have crossed my mind that these guys should have a jacket on, but he wants a jacket.
Yeah.
I don't know if he wants headshots as well, what kind of resume paper he would prefers, but he's got, you know, he's got his rules about
tracing paper.
EJ missed Greg's reference to Greg's shirt. If you're at watchthea.com on Twitch, YouTube, this is one of two. There are two colors in this line of Greg Caserta hot guy wearing your asset shirt today.
Yeah, I was going to go the asset because that's what I am. That's who I am. That's my alter ego. Billy Jocalone, friend of the show, is out in the newsroom right now. He found this generic t-shirt on Amazon, so I ordered a couple. Went purple and red.
Okay.
Nice, not too loud.
Toronto Raptors colors.
Very
old school.
Very subtle, yeah.
No, I think I like just asset.
Asset's good, right?
The asset is almost like too much. Mm. This is perfect. I'm an asset. Like, I read it. Asset is basically subliminal.
Yeah. I've been told that I am an asset.
You are.
And therefore, I have become and assumed said role as the asset.
It is a Thursday. It's a thirsty Thursday. So all morning long, tell us who or what you're toasting at CBS Sports Radio, at Andrew Bogish, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. We'll do our toasts in hour number three. Also on the show this morning, the Big 12 beats the Pac-12 again. Could Michigan and Ohio State change the game? Not only are the Angels keeping Shohei Ohtani, they're trading prospects now to try and win immediately. James Harden has a new detractor, and Paul Tenorio of The Athletic talks about Messi's first days in MLS. But we begin in a city that is embargoed on the show unless diaper money's available. Aaron Rodgers and the Jets had been saying they would redo his contract because it was going to kill their salary cap next season. They got it all finalized yesterday, and the Jets took Rodgers to the cleaners with his blessing. It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
Definitely some of it is how much fun I'm having. It's all about the body, how the body feels. The team gave up significant pieces for it just to be a one-year deal. I'm aware of that. I think there was an awareness of that. Now, again, anything can happen with my body or with the success we have this year. But I'm having a blast, so I don't really see this as a one-year-and-done thing.
I don't even want to back him to a corner and make him commit to something like that. I just want him to have fun and know that when he walks in this building, to let loose, have a little bit of fun, BS with the guys, come in the office, come talk to us, and just enjoy playing football. And odds are, if you enjoy playing football, you're going to want to keep doing it. And but yeah, I wouldn't put pressure on him to commit to something like that anyway. But I'd be shocked if he doesn't play multiple years. I mean, he looks like a little kid out there.
I'm not going to beat around the bush, man. We want to win a Super Bowl, and you know, you don't make moves in the offseason like we did unless you're trying to get there. You know, that's the mindset. And like I said, you know, we want to have those expectations as athletes. No one wants to feel like no one's, you know, got an eye on y'all or no one expects anything out of y'all. You know, we love that. And, you know, that's the mindset that we're embracing in our facility. You know, we know where we want to get. And, you know, personally, I think it's okay to talk about it. You know, if you want to go get that or get it, talk about it. It's cool.
I don't believe it.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, Grundy.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
So Aaron Rodgers, as arrived in New Jersey to play for the Jets, would have counted $107.6 million against their salary cap in 2024. So all along, they had to do something to fix that. I don't know that any of us thought fixing it would include Rodgers basically taking a $35 million pay cut. He signs what's new, basically a new two-year contract, fully guaranteed at $75 million, where he was scheduled to make $110 million guaranteed. He gave back $35 million to help the Jets with more flexibility to make more moves, make more additions. The other part of this is he's now basically locked in for 2 years. And shows his commitment to play more than this year. Now, he did say, and I think he was talking about his body, not our body, but he did say it depends on how the body feels. And obviously, other things can happen. But at the moment, Aaron Rodgers wants to and is planning on being a Jet in 2024. And the cap hit is still significant next year, but certainly a palatable number, not $107.6 million. But I didn't see this coming. And I guess it's nice of Rodgers to do this, but I also think it's fair to ask why he was not okay with doing this in Green Bay and maybe helping out Davante Adams and other people. I mean, is this a 35 mil, like, middle finger to the Packers? Is this a spite pay cut?
It certainly sounds that way. And you could tell that towards the end in Green Bay, the relationship was fractured. The issues with the GM, where the mandate almost coming from the agent was get rid of Brian Gutekunst, a name that we have had a really good time with on this show.
And we still don't know how to say it correctly.
And we don't know the proper pronunciation. But it's funny how in very short amount of time, Rodgers has shed this selfish bad boy label. And you would think the opposite would happen going from Green Bay to New York. You would think that would make him more hateable, that his detractors would kind of be more amped up. And the last couple of weeks and months, he's repaired his image incredibly well. The fan base loves him already. No surprise there. But now it's going around the league with this latest news that maybe he's not as selfish as we once thought him to be. At least maybe he's turned the corner for the last year or two of his career.
I mean, you know, pay cuts and restructures happen all of the time in the NFL, almost daily. Like, the number is, this is a staggering number to me. It's, I mean, and it's not just reconfiguring money that he might have made. He is not taking $35 million that he was supposed to get. It was basically locked in. So this is not just math and accounting. This is him actually taking less money. I'm kind of shocked the PA allows this. I mean, other sports, you know, we've going back to like A-Rod's Red Sox trade where the union jumps in and was like, no, you can't. You can't do this. You can't set precedent. To give back $35 million is not selfless. It might be idiotic, but it's just, I love the fact that it may be just out of spite that he wanted to do nothing nice for Green Bay and his boy Gunty. But here in, with the Jets, he's like, yeah, I'm good. I don't, $35 million, whatever. You guys keep that.
And I think a big part of it is, all right, you're going to a new place. You feel reinvigorated. Things obviously were stale in Green Bay. So now you have this second breath, if you will, at a career. And you're looking at the pieces that you have. You're looking at Garrett Wilson. You're looking at a really good defense. And you're thinking, all right, maybe I do have one final chance here. I have this brief 1 or 2 year window. And I thought this started with his comments from a week ago when he said, listen, the Jets gave up a lot to get me. The least I could do is give them 2 years. I thought that was telling. I thought that was impressive. And again, I don't know if the shine wears off at any point, but right now, you know, we're looking at a headline on the TV here. Are the Jets a championship caliber team? Assuming that Robert Saleh doesn't completely blank the bed, you got to like their chances because he's clearly made an impact. And the Nathaniel Hackett signing can't be lost on how important that's been because it's changed Rodgers' outlook from what we've seen the last 5 years.
Not to change the subject, but I'd love to know what version of that expression you used that you needed to bleep yourself because it's wet the bed and you said bleep the bed. What do you do with your bed when you're nervous?
It's none of your business what I do. It's what I do in my sleepy time habits.
All right. So Aaron Rodgers, a $35 million pay cut to be nice to the Jets and maybe give it one more time to the Packers, showing just how done he was with Green Bay. Again, it's a Thursday here on the DA Show. Let us know who and what you're toasting at CBS Sports Radio, at Andrew Bogish on Twitter. Phone lines is always open as well at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. When we come back, it is the best audio of the day. It's sound check and coming off yesterday.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Today, an NBA voice basically answered our poll question of having a list of people you want to fight at work. That's next on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Soundcheck is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at WesleyFinancialGroup.com. Welcome back to the show. Bogus in for DA. EJ's here. Caserta is here. Ryan Betcher has joined the fun today because Pete has checked out. Soundcheck begins with Jaylen Brown, who teammates thought was acting big time with his big money extension.
Jaylen, Grant Williams, Robert Williams both posted that they were unable to reach him on FaceTime. Have you been able to reach out to them? How do you feel about them calling you out like that?
I'm not aware of what happened.
Rob and Grant tried to FaceTime you after you signed your deal.
Okay.
They couldn't get through, so they posted screenshots on Instagram saying that you've changed.
He definitely changed his number. I mean,
care to respond and tell us how much you've changed? So are you too big for your teammates now?
Nah, never. No, those are my guys. I'll probably give them a call when I leave out of here. But yesterday was a crazy day. Probably the most my phone has ever been ringing in on the line. So I missed that call.
So I start to say that this is a bad look for Jaylen Brown, that you've got to know when your teammates call. But then I remember what these dudes' phones look like with the amount of texts and calls they're going to get on a day like that. And it's probably okay that you didn't know that even two teammates called you during the middle of all of that. I kind of understand it.
And I'm also so anti-random FaceTimes, too. Like, you don't know what I'm doing. You don't know if I don't got a shirt on. You don't know what's going on. Like, do not FaceTime me randomly. I know maybe it wasn't quite as random because he had just, you know, agreed to this big contract. But I think the fact that they FaceTimed him alone was enough for him to not answer.
So I think this is somewhat of an age thing. I guess I'm too old for FaceTimes. Like, it's on my phone. I know how to use it. But, like, when I talk to people, it's not via FaceTime. Like, that is not the number one way that people reach out to me. But I feel like younger people... It's oftentimes, let's throw the video on here too.
I mean, I had to adjust because my girlfriend loves FaceTime. So, like, that was something I had to adjust to where she'll FaceTime me, you know, whether she's walking out the dog or she's out to do yoga, and she'll FaceTime me on the way back. So, I'd get used to that. But she's like, that's the bar. Like there's no one else. And my parents during the pandemic, because I didn't see them for a while. That's the bar. There is no other person that should be randomly FaceTiming me. So, if I'm Jaylen Brown, like, you can text me. You can text me. I can give you a tweet. Quick, thank you for the you know, congratulations, and move on. A FaceTime, you know, again, I could be cooking. I could be doing anything. Like, leave me alone.
Man, when I was dating my wife and we first started dating in college and I was in New York and she was in Boston, we were on the phone all of the time.
Huh.
But at least when we were on the phone, she couldn't see me being half distracted by something on the TV or like my roommate sitting next to me or playing a video game while we're talking. If she's FaceTiming you, you got to give all your attention to that conversation now.
Oh, I've learned quite a lot over the last 6.5 years.
That's not
about good. About FaceTime etiquette. Because, again, I'm a multitasker as well. So I'll be reading tweets while talking. And, you know, especially when I pull it up on my laptop. So she then really sees the eyeball kind of pulling back. She's like, what are you looking at? And it's like, oh, sorry, I was working on something. So
yeah. All those years of doing minor league baseball, I'd be gone for half the year at different points, and I would be in, let's say, Port Charlotte, Florida, and Aaron would be back here in New Jersey, and I'd have to get the, you know, call me after the game, and my goal was to always keep it 5 minutes or less post-game. Usually there's a cold beer waiting for me as soon as the game ends, so if I could get out in under 5 minutes, it was a success, but like you... It was all done over the phone.
Yeah.
It was a phone call. There was no visual. There was no eye contact. There was no look at me. Look at me. It was just, let's talk.
And I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, and I don't know about you guys. I don't like talking on the phone.
No.
I hate it.
I really don't like it. So there are times when you'd look and be like, wow, we've been doing this for 40 minutes now. That's a long time.
Uh-huh. And I'm old enough that when we were dating in the late 99, 2000, like even texting wasn't even a thing. Like I didn't have the, like I could have had to like hit, you know, 2-3 times to get to C, and then like that's what, there were no keyboards. So like there were times where I'd get back on the bus, like leaving a Fordham basketball game, and I'd call her and she wouldn't stop talking. Like, I'm on the bus. I gotta go. Like, I'm not whispering. Dudes just played 40 minutes of basketball. They want to go to sleep. They don't need to hear our nonsense. Like, let me get off this.
Oh,
I would have loved to write a text.
I've had those. Bus call.
Yeah.
Like, I'll call you in a few minutes.
I'm already not supposed to be on the bus. I'm already a nuisance. Like, stop making me talk to you now, too. Up next on Soundcheck, right off of yesterday when Greg with 2 G's said he wanted to fight at least 5 people around the building, here's Jeff Teague on wanting to fight Chris Paul via the Club 520 podcast.
For the Pacers, he's on the Clippers. It's the first time he really talked to me and the first time I ever really wanted to fight him. So before the game, you know, you got to do the warm-ups and shit. And I see him. He like, JT, what's up, baby? You know, political shit. I'm like, what's going on? He like, nothing. He on some Wake Forest shoes. So I'm like, them is decent right there. I might need a pair of them CPs right there. You know, just trying to keep the conversation going. He like, okay, yeah, yeah. The game start, we playing against each other. He do a lot of flopping. So he was trying to give me 2 fouls. I'm like, quit flopping. Play. You scared the guard? Da-da-da-da. Walk to the end of our bench where Paul George was sitting and was like, P, this right here talking like he ain't just asked me for some shoes before the game.
Oh, dumped him out.
What?
Our good friend Bill Ryder would love this clip because that, he does not like Chris Paul. And that's a really good summation of why he doesn't like Chris Paul. Now, on one hand, I guess good job by Paul to spin the shoe request back at Jeff Teague, but the fake Chris Paul and then the fake tough guy Chris Paul is why Bill doesn't like him, and I guess there's a lot of people that don't like him as well in the NBA, and here's Jeff Teague. And at least they weren't teammates. Right. And you wanted to fight teammates yesterday, but at least these are their co-workers, theoretically, and Jeff was ready to throw down.
Have you noticed that Soundcheck this week is just loaded with curses?
Yes.
There's a lot of bleeping in our sound checks lately.
Yeah.
I like it.
I like it, too. The problem is, well, I think the reason is 90% of our clips now are coming from player-hosted podcasts.
Yes.
Right.
Where there are just no rules. Like, nobody does just kind of regular interviews anymore. Now, we get great stuff because guys are relaxed and whatever, but I think it leads to having to make extra work for our tape op to bleep out 8 curses in 9 seconds.
Yeah, commercial FM radio not conducive to the player-hosted podcast. Like when they do they still do the Barber Shop on HBO?
It's on YouTube now, I believe, The Shop.
It's on The Shop. Yeah, it shows how much I watched it. Because they were full uncensored with that, right? Because that was HBO?
Correct.
Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
Everybody, some people were, you know, pearl-clutching LeBron using F-bombs.
I'll tell you who's a real maverick, that Pat McAfee. He wears sleeveless shirts and he curses everybody. Look out.
Ugh. Last in soundcheck is Travis Kelce sharing his failed attempt at trying to talk to Taylor Swift. This is from the New Heights podcast.
Speaking of Taylor Swift, I know you went to the Taylor Swift concert. How was it?
Yeah, well, I was disappointed that she doesn't talk before or after her shows because she has to save her voice for the 44 songs that she sings. So I was a little butthurt I didn't get to hand her one of the bracelets I made for her.
You made her a bracelet?
Yeah. If you're up on Taylor Swift concerts, there are friendship bracelets, and I received a bunch of them being there, but I wanted to give Taylor Swift one with my number on it. Not right now.
Your number's in 87 or your phone number?
You know which one. She doesn't meet anybody, or at least she didn't want to meet me, so I took it personal.
She probably just hasn't gotten over the Super Bowl yet. She's a big Eagles fan. Maybe she just made something up and just didn't want to talk to you.
Damn it.
So speaking of your bleep question,
I'm curious about that myself.
The way Travis described his feelings by being shot down by Taylor, I feel like that might be a bleepable thing. I don't know.
Think so.
What was that?
You think so?
I think that if the body was here, that probably would have not made the final cut.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it would have been the good Bilotti trick, another Pete Beauty, where if something is debatable, yes, he will smack that dump button like there's no tomorrow. Yeah. But if someone straight says like the F word, he like looks at it, like, should I dump that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And like pulls it back. It's a weird, he's got a weird trigger finger when it comes to the dump button. That's a debatable term in general because right, its origin is not great either. Let's just move on so we don't get in trouble for making it on the air.
It's only because of certain parts of the country.
I'm going to speak for Taylor Swift. I feel like Travis Kelce's not her type. No. All the boyfriends that we've known Taylor Swift to have are not Travis Kelce's. They're not tight ends. They're more like...
Justin Tucker.
Yeah, they're kickers.
Right. Pretty much. Yeah.
John Mayer.
Tom like Tupa.
She would have been a big Sean Landetta fan if she was back in the 80s.
Well, I will say, though, a lot of her music stems from these relationships.
Right.
What do you think? She would go off the deep end with a Travis Kelce We Broke Up album. That would be complete departure from her regular music.
I don't, to be honest, I don't even think they would have been enough of time together to write a song about.
Yeah.
That patience would have immediately disappeared on Travis Kelce.
I always wonder, how are he and his brother related? Because
they have the same parents.
They are. Oh, literal Vogue.
Sorry.
That was good. They're like nothing alike. Their personas are completely different. Like Travis Kelce is Fred Durst in the early 2000s. And then Jason Kelce is like any country music star on tour.
Right.
Like they do not, like the complete opposites attract sort of thing.
Jason doesn't look like Travis, like Travis's brother. And I feel like he doesn't even look like an offensive lineman. Like he's a big burly dude, right, but like he doesn't seem mean enough to play that position.
He's a nasty one too.
Yeah.
Once that helmet's on, it's game over.
I'd also say that Travis has better ways than a friendship bracelet to get to Taylor Swift. I mean, when you're him... Yeah. This is what your agent's for, kind of. Like, one exactly of the greatest stories ever told, and I think I'm telling it correctly, is Andy Roddick saw Brooklyn Decker, yeah, and, like, the rest of us went, she's very pretty, I'd like to hang out with her, and had his agent reach out to her agent to set something up, and now they're married for, I don't know, a decade with two kids,
at
like,
least, yeah,
having a great life, but he didn't make her a bracelet. He just had business people talk, and here they are.
Now, didn't Justin Verlander give Kate Upton a baseball, like during a game, I believe it was a Sunday night baseball game, yes, I want to say, at Yankee Stadium, and that was the beginning of their thing. So maybe Kelce saw that and thought, hey, works for Justin Verlander, why don't I give it a shot? And these friendship bracelets, is again, in living in the house of a Swiftie,
they're
a big deal. It's a thing. So I think he thought it was a very thoughtful gesture.
I'm just picturing him.
And not the most efficient.
I'm picturing him writing his number on a football and winging it at her and having it hit her in the side of the head. He completely just Marsha Brady's the thing, and she comes out on stage with a giant bruise.
But even EJ, if he wants to get her the bracelet, and I see the point of the bracelet, he's got a better way than hoping she'll see him backstage to get the bracelet to her. He's got people that can actually deliver the bracelet at maybe a better time for her.
That is true.
Than trying to bother her before or after the show.
That's true. I think he wanted that face-to-face time, though. I think Taylor Swift, you listen to her music, is very personal. Like, she takes, you know, very specific, intimate details about people and puts them in her songs. So I think he thought for her, this initial intimate kind of interaction one-on-one would be something special. And unfortunately, it did not work out.
I think it's actually kind of sweet and kind of old school that he went about it that way. I mean, he obviously failed miserably.
Right.
But in the age of everybody sliding into the DMs, he went for it.
And my other question, too, was... Do you think she wants to date fans? Because that was the other thing. Because, like, to me, like, the bracelet thing is a fan thing. It's not Taylor Swift gives bracelets to other people that she admires. So was that maybe something that also would have been kind of a deterrent? Like, oh, a fan is giving me a bracelet?
She's getting to that point now where almost everybody's a fan. So I feel like statistically, she's going to end up dating a fan. It's unavoidable for her.
Mm. Right. I mean, and I wouldn't say that I'm a fan. I know of some of her songs because of my kids.
I respect the hell out of her.
So I'd be probably in the group she's looking for. That I'm not like, I don't care that she's Taylor Swift, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like this may show that Kelce cared too much that it was Taylor Swift. That he did go the distance to say, I'm going to make an actual friendship bracelet. Like the millions of Swifties out here who are also giving out bracelets to other Swifties.
I need more details. Is Big Travis Kelce going to the bead store and picking up the beads out himself and the string to make this happen? Does he have a niece that already has the bead making kit like I have in my house? How does that work?
I hope that his agent worked on that. I hope that was, if his agent couldn't make the call to tell his representative, I hope his agent at least made the bracelet.
Now, do you have to go fancy? Like, you need to put like some rubies on there, not just beads.
Oh, yeah, this got to be diamonds,
right?
I think.
You got to spend some cash on this.
He's gluing elbow macaroni on a paper plate. Big smiley face. Arts and crafts with Travis Kelce.
Do you want to go out? Check yes or check no.
True or false, will you go out with
him? It's a huge day again in college athletics. Expansion is probably never going to end. Its tires are roaring right now, and it's another school leaving the Pac-12 for the Big 12. Another win in expansion for the Big 12 over the Pac-12. Colorado, as Greg mentioned in his update about 20 minutes ago, all we're waiting for them is to basically send a quick email saying, hey, we'd like to come back to the Big 12. The Big 12 has approved the invitation. The Colorado Board of Regents meets this morning to rubber stamp that request to go, and then they'll go at the end of this year. And at the end of this year, as Greg mentioned, there's no Pac-12 media deal technically, so there's no exit fee. I mean, a lot of these other conversations have revolved around how much do you owe? When am I going to pay it? Who's going to give you this money? When are you going to get it? You're withholding that money. This is a free transfer for Colorado to go back to the Big 12 where they live from 96 through 2010. We'll get to the Colorado aspect of this in just a second and the Big 12 as well, but I've got to start with the Pac-12. Now, I'm a lifelong New Yorker. I went to school here. I grew up here. It's not like I'm a USC alum or an Oregon alum, so I'm not directly connected to this, and I'm not sure why I feel so strongly, but this bums me out that the Pac-12 is just disintegrating.
Yep.
These beautiful campuses, all of this beautiful history, and it's all basically running out the door because of years of mismanagement and terrible decisions. This goes all the way back to Larry Scott, the previous commissioner who came from the tennis world, who completely bungled the creation, the rollout, the continued existence of Pac-12 Network. One of my best friends in the world, Mike Yan, was the face of the network, and I could never watch because you could never watch Pac-12 Network unless you basically lived in Pac-12 Network headquarters. It was one of the worst run operations, worst positioned operations in recent memory. Larry Scott leaves, and this new guy comes in, and now he can't get a TV deal done. And because he can't get a TV deal done, they don't have San Diego State on board, and everybody just keeps leaving. And honestly, I don't know what this conference is going to be, if it'll be a conference at all, because as Colorado goes, apparently maybe there's the possibility that it's going to take its Four Corners buddies with it. That's Arizona, Arizona State, and Utah. And we're already losing teams to the Big Ten. So Oregon remains the one to go get. And why would you stay there? Because no matter what TV deal is coming for the Pac-12, it's going to suck. So it's not even going to be this big saving grace where they drop in with a you-know-what ton of money and all of this and all of that and all these reasons to stay put. This is an utter disaster. And I don't know when the bleeding stops. And it makes me angry that the Pac-12 is basically dead in the water. They're the ones that should be beating away teams who are looking for new homes. If you want to move up in the world, you should have been in the way things were going for forever. In the history of college athletics, the Pac-12 should have been a destination place. You should have been begging for them to come in. And now schools, and I don't say this disrespectfully, but now schools like San Diego State are calling their shots. I mean, we had the AD in here, and I joked like, you're about him being in the driver's seat. I mean, you could get this thing called the Pac-12 presented by San Diego State. And he kind of laughed, but like, that's the situation. It's a good school, but it's not necessarily a Pac. There's a reason why it wasn't in the Pac-12. You know, our friends in Boise are listening right now. I'm shocked that they're still not in the Pac-12 because that seems like a normal geographical fit. But guess what? That's not even the place for them to go anymore, because it's not the best landing spot. I cannot believe that a couple of people have created a world where everybody's leaving the Pac-12 and there's nothing this conference can do about it. The Rose Bowl is basically dead. These conference, you know, USC and UCLA are going to play completely untraditional opponents. Geography be damned. Travel crisscrossing the country. Their Olympic sports are going to be run into the ground physically and budget-wise by traveling to play softball or soccer or baseball in Indiana, not just cruising up and down the beautiful west coast of this country. I cannot believe that we're in this situation. And kudos on the flip side to the Big 12. They have made all of the bad Pac-12 decisions have been good Big 12 decisions. And the one that came back to yesterday is as Colorado goes to the Big 12, the Big 12 has a TV deal and a good TV deal, which is why they're a place to go to and why they keep adding schools and are basically turning schools down. Their deal with ESPN just grows in value as they add more Power 5 schools. So the Pac-12 can't get a dollar right now to broadcast their games. And every time the Big 12 adds somebody like Colorado, they cash in more. The deal is based on the number of schools. It's not like it's, okay, it's $100 and you're dividing it evenly between 10, 12, or 16 schools. No. Every time a new school is added, the value and the price tag from ESPN goes up. So the Big 12 just keeps winning and winning and winning and winning. Brett Yormark is everything that the Pac-12 has not had in charge of it for the last, I don't even know now, 10, 12, 15 years. And in a blowout, the Big 12 keeps winning. And it doesn't even matter, P.S., that Colorado is arguably the worst Pac-12 football school. Dion, you know, pre-Dion, obviously. But if you're talking just from a sports landscape, like losing Colorado is not a huge deal. But losing Colorado is a huge deal because you're losing everybody now. And the teams that are still in the Pac-12, why would they want to still be in the Pac-12? Because what's their future? This is an abject failure and a disaster for the Pac-12. It keeps coming, and the Big 12 just keeps winning. They've got Colorado now. The geographical footprint extends even further to the west. They become more enticing for other schools who want to join. Now they've got Dion under their umbrella as well. Whatever he's going to do with Colorado now, they reap the benefits of that. I mean, it's just, it's not breaking news. It's not new, but it's just still startling to me every single time that the Pac-12 is such an utter embarrassment.
Well, the other thing, too, you look back and you say, when was the last national championship team to come out of the Pac-12? It was USC in 04. So the rise of the SEC, I think, probably also crippled the conference, where at one time, USC was a destination, and there were other schools that you would look to go to. Oregon, obviously, but the conference, you know, it became one of the least powerful of the Power Five. I mean, the whole conference in terms of recruiting, in terms of on-field product, like, listen, they were always up amongst the top 25, but once you got to the nitty-gritty of the season, they would slip out of the top 10, they wouldn't really get into the playoff, and they never really showed up on that big national stage. So I think in the end, the on-field product, outside of the finances and the TV deals and things like that, you know, they just got lapped by the SEC, and in turn, the other conferences followed suit.
But even the other conferences still did a good job of being number two to the SEC,
right?
And the Pac-12 didn't. It's like it's all interchanged. There was a way to survive while the SEC was running ahead of you football-wise. I mean, the Big Ten is okay, even though they kept Alabama kept winning national titles or whomever out of the SEC, and the Pac-12 just went in the complete other direction and has never had a solid plan to fix anything.
Well, even going back, you mentioned growing up in this area and the now the dissolution of the Pac-12, and I'm not a huge college football fan. I follow the sport, but it is disappointing. And it goes back to even the Big East losing college basketball, you know, that the traditions of that going away and the creation of the AAC and all the merging and the moving that goes on. It is very disappointing because what we grew up watching, it's gone, it's never coming back, and it's just going to continue to evolve.
Doesn't it feel like there's a chance that we could be seeing essentially a two-conference college football league, essentially, like we see in the NFL? Like, it looks like perhaps the Big 12, and maybe they combine eventually with the Big 10, becomes one side, and then maybe you have an SEC that eventually, when the ACC gets their deal situated, because a lot of teams upset with the ACC deal, and,
right,
and luckily for the ACC, their lawyers and their TV deals are so ironclad that Miami's and Florida State's can't get out, but eventually that they become their side, and it kind of becomes an AFC versus NFC deal when it comes to college football. It just seems like that's inevitable at this point.
I think it would be two conferences split into two divisions. So you'd have, let's say, an SEC East-West like they currently have, and then you'd have the, you know, Big Ten North and South or Big Ten East-West, whatever it is. That would I could see that happening for sure.
Yeah, we're going to get the four somethings. Whatever, I don't know what we're going to call them. I don't know how hard certain groups are going to hold to like using my name or keeping my name. Maybe it is just SEC, ACC, Big Ten, and Big 12, and that's it. And there's, you know, 16 to 18 schools in each one of them, and that funnels into whatever the playoff looks like at that point. But that's always seems to be the end game. And all you're trying to do now is get yourself into one of those spots, one of those four landing spots, so you're there at the end when that's the official kind of ending spot. And that's why I, like, seriously, is there going to be a Pac-12? Like, it's no longer the Pac-12 that we know, but, like, is it going to be anything as we keep going like this? Or is it going to be, you know, the Mountain West?
Basically, I think that's the likely result, is that you'll have a Pac-12 by name, but you'll have very few original members. It'll be all the teams that bolt from the Mountain West and, you know, other conferences out that way. The SWAC, like, you know, whatever it is, like, it's just not gonna be quality the way we grew up watching it.
I mean, Oregon is not staying there either. As more teams around them in the Pac-12 leave, they're the last thing to really go after. I mean, maybe they in Washington become some kind of package deal, because the Huskies have had, you know, fairly decent success. It's kind of the Seattle market. So, I mean, like, they're gonna have nobody left to hang their hat on, because really that is, you know, there are 1.5 teams left that we truly as a nation care about in that league now. In Oregon and Washington. Washington State matters. Arizona State matters, but we'd be okay, heartlessly speaking. We'd be okay without them in the national football conversation.
Gonzaga will be there eventually. Fresno State will be there eventually.
Yeah, but Gonzaga not playing football makes their conversation different. And I know for a fact that the Big East calls them almost daily, like, please come to our league.
And the Big 12 has also called, as me as a Gonzaga fan, like, the Big 12 has had conversations with them as well, about making them a basketball exclusive, or maybe a basketball plus non-football sport kind of school.
And apparently the Big 12 is fascinated with UConn, and UConn, I don't know if they're equally fascinated, but there are some within the UConn kind of power structure that will anonymously tell the media that it's happening. It's just when it can happen, what it looks like, that UConn will go to the Big 12, because they, even though UConn's a basketball school, football matters, and their football team is a joke, it's a punchline, but it needs a league to be in, and it goes in the Big 12, and it immediately gets a huge push-up in legacy and validity.
And then on the Colorado front, I mean, to me, it feels like this could be a big boon for them, potentially. I mean, I know the move to the Big Pac-12 didn't go as well, but when you think of Deion being there and his ties to the Texas area, of course, playing with the Dallas Cowboys, his former school was based in the Dallas area. I mean, Colorado, I feel like, could be on the verge of something big here, with kind of being probably in a more realistic kind of destination and a more viable fit for them moving forward with Deion as their head coach.
Yeah, and I'm a nerd. Like, geography matters to me, and it doesn't matter to anybody else anymore, but it still drives me nuts when you don't play where you live, basically.
Yeah.
Colorado feels to me like a Big 12 school, not a Pac-12 school. So from that vantage point, like, they should be playing the Nebraskas of the world, or not, that's not the right reference at this point, but they should be playing teams in the central time zone. They should be coming east, not going west. So this at least makes more sense to me on that front.
Exactly. It's going to be Coach Prime, man. we keep kind of doubting how these things go, but it just feels like as we move forward, it really feels like he could be building something big there.
Yeah, and I guess he's back dancing already in the locker room this week. I think I saw that video yesterday after another surgery on that heinous looking foot he keeps showing everybody.
Ew, there's pictures of it?
Yeah.
I'm not looking, no.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Definitely not before breakfast.
What was he posting on his Twitter, his Instagram?
I don't know. I just, there's a foot with fewer toes than it's supposed to have, and health issues are serious. Like, he almost had to lose that foot. I get that, but I don't need to see it.
Yeah, because does he have diabetes?
I'm not
sure.
Or
is it just a blood flow problem to the foot?
I it's always described as that, but I don't know if that's the lone thing or that is a symptom of a bigger thing.
Oof. I think he had turf toe.
Yeah, I believe it started with turf toe in the NFL.
And it just never...
It's something that was chronic.
Yeah.
And it eventually became blood clots and...
Oh, look, he's on TV right now.
Turf toe needs a better name. It does not sound bad.
Right.
It's a horrible injury.
It's really bad, apparently.
Now, I didn't know about this, the high end of, like, down the road problems that he has, but just turf toe in and of itself, that injury sucks.
How about we bring back trench foot?
That's its own thing, though. That's already been claimed.
But it's not used anymore, so why can't we combine them into one awful ailment?
I think you need a trench to have trench foot. So, like, it's not going to make sense when he's not in the trenches.
All right,
literally speaking.
Question for the youngins: do you know what trench foot is?
I do not.
Yes,
you know what it is.
It's when the water and bacteria and starts to rot your toes. And
look at this guy. That was a World War I thing from just standing in dirty, putrid water, and they would ultimately lose toes and feet. And
nasty.
Makes for good eats.
What about dead toe? For a new
dead toe?
Name for turf toe. Like, if it's ain't turf toe,
it's too
soft. What about dead toe?
We're rebranding it.
Yeah. Because, I mean, and I think about, like, as a kid growing up, we talk about the advancements of, like, player safety. I don't know how many times I saw guys playing on turf toe in the NFL, and it's being like, oh, he's out for a week, and then he's back. And now, you know, we're seeing the ramifications of what that can be with Deion Sanders. It's definitely been undersold. So I'm wondering if... dead toe or killer toe. I don't know.
Yeah, zombie toe.
Zombie toe. Right.
P.S., one of the voices that you heard in there is Ryan Betcher, who's being Pete today, and Ryan continues his hot streak of T-shirts. He's got an average Joe's T-shirt on from Dodgeball.
Elite.
It really is. And you do a good job yourself,
Matt.
EJ.
Appreciate it.
But Ryan's tough to beat recently.
Well, we should have mentioned on the air yesterday that EJ yesterday wore a Good Burger T-shirt. Which I don't think we addressed on the air.
I mentioned it
to him off the air, so I don't want to take away from EJ and his collection. But yeah, and I'm pretty sure that I was here for your first day on the board, right?
Ever?
Right?
Or for the DA.
For DA.
Yes.
Yeah, I was here for your morning debut, and you had a stellar debut.
The day that Pete called out,
I got a receipt tomorrow
right?
now, so.
Yeah, so don't screw it up, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like it.
We're toasting to the good life.
I feel alive. Ah.
We are feeling good and doing well.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
It's the DA Show's Thirsty Thursday.
Celebrating with some booskies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
My cooler is open. Get your booskies ready here. Before we do that, though, I got to give a Pete update. Pete's here. Pete was here earlier than we thought. He beat the 8 a.m. cutoff.
Yep.
Much to my chagrin, Bilotti, somewhat hypocritically, did not dress up to interview people today.
He's wearing a trench coat. I found that weird.
Well, so he's in normal Bilotti attire. He didn't even up the foot gear to anything close to a dress shoe. He's got his, like, Skechers slip on still.
So we're doing baseball, third base coach here.
I mean, you can't ask people to dress up if you're not going to dress up yourself, right?
It makes sense. Okay. It wouldn't make sense. I don't know.
So we ain't toasting Pete the Boss this morning for that. EJ, you're toast. You go first.
All right, so I'm toasting the legendary, the iconic, Nasty Nas. Nas, the rapper, came out with his latest album, Magic 2, last Friday. He's a Queens native. I'm a Queens native. Grew up listening to Nas' music for a long time. He's been on a great album run. Basically, he's done five outstanding albums in 3 years, and they're two different series. There's King Disease, and then there's Magic. This is Magic 2 that came out. Magic 1 was probably my favorite Nas album, maybe since Illmatic. Magic 2, really good. Not as good as Magic 1, but still outstanding. The fact that Nas is pushing 50 and still rapping at this level is outstanding. So I'm toasting the great Nas.
Booskies!
Ryan, your turn.
Okay, so last night I decided to go to the movies and watch Barbie, of course. And I'd like to toast Ryan Gosling just for his incredible comedic performances. He was great in Barbie. Great in The Nice Guys. He is by far an underrated comedic actor.
Okay.
Which is The Nice Guys?
It's the...
Him and Russell Crowe?
Yeah, Russell Crowe. They're like detectives in the 70s in L.A.
Yeah.
What's the Will Ferrell, Marky Mark
The
cop?
Other guys.
The other guys.
So yeah. are they... That's too close for comfort. Is it supposed to be like that?
I don't
know. The Nice Guys, the other guys? They feel like you.
So I saw The Nice Guys once. I really don't remember it. The Other Guys is sneakily one of my favorite comedies.
Which you've said before.
Yeah.
On the show.
Yes. With Ferrell and Wahlberg.
So I think you made a reference, or you pulled a line from it, and we kind of all stared at you like, what is that? And you were disappointed that we didn't get it.
Or, yeah, there was something there. Yeah. So that's come up more than once on this show.
Yeah, aim for the bushes. See? Gotta quote it.
You got it.
See? He's the best.
He's good. It's good.
And you were out there. I told Bilotti when I first did a little fit check, said I'm disappointed in you. I referenced Ryan's t-shirt. I said, Pete, you watch your step. He brings a lot to the table. Another great shirt today. No mistakes on the air. It's time to be nervous. And Ryan just keeps delivering. All right, Greg, what do you got? Who you toasting?
Well, yesterday... You and Pete Bilotti were really hamming up the fact that I work at MLB Network.
MLB Network.
I'm going to toast them because I will be on Sunday Night Baseball on MLB Network this Sunday night, 8 o'clock from Truist Park in Atlanta. The Hank Aaron Invitational. Yours truly will have the call. I'm toasting you, MLB Network.
Booskies!
You looking at the camera is my favorite thing.
So Kaplan loves it.
Delivering like it's a testimonial. MLB Network was on one of our TV screens. It's no longer now. So you can't talk directly to Roflo or to Lauren Jihadi right now.
It is really a nod to Kaplan, who is back there in the laboratory, because I know he gets a kick out of it.
Yep.
And it's really a joke for maybe two people.
No, three. Me, you, and him.
Three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think people... I'm sure the Twitch or the YouTube stream is commenting on this as well. It doesn't go unnoticed.
Yeah, and I still haven't decided whether I'm going to block Mraz Is Always Wrong for his comment yesterday.
That you were not as hot as others have claimed you to be?
Yeah, I don't know why it really irritated me so much.
I know how that feels.
You know, so I posted the question. I polled the audience, and in the past, before Twitter went south, a lot of people would see it, and you get a lot of votes. This got 10 votes, last I checked. 7 people said I should block Mraz Is Always Wrong 22. 3 said I shouldn't. I don't know which way I'm going to lean.
I'd vote for no.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd vote for no.
Because I've never blocked anybody.
I'm a big mute guy.
I mute almost everybody.
I'm not that prolific, but that's the way to go, because they don't know that they're muted.
Sure. I think anybody in the quote-unquote
crime,
in the quote-unquote business, I think I've muted.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no, you've got to mute. I got to. If you like are tweeting like pointless stuff, you get the mute from me. But it's not. Again, you're throwing it around willy-nilly.
Yeah,
I'm much
I like
pickier.
The mute button.
See, I like the mute. I like muting words. Because there's certain words that come up.
Okay.
And names that come up.
I forgot you could
that I don't want to hear. And it's done a pretty decent job of, you know,
you know, doing some triage, so to speak, of my tweets that are on my timeline.
There's a way to do it. I've been told it, and I never actually do it. I need to turn off seeing people retweeting people that I've muted or blocked. Like, I
hate that.
Like, especially, and they're doing it in a way like, can you believe this dude said that? But I don't even want to see that person sucking. So don't retweet it. So then, therefore, it's like circumventing my mute or block. That one sucks.
So I could block any sort of Draymond Green reference on my timeline?
Yes. Wow. I've done it for Kanye West.
Okay.
I've done it for Elon, who I've talked about on Trash Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I've done it for a good number of people, and it's worked. It really works.
This is way too inside. I'm going to start doing that for Ray Martell. who I have muted on Twitter.
But you know what? Ray's the guy that would sniff that out.
Yeah, 100%.
So you got to be careful.
Yeah.
Ray would notice that you're not interacting with him and ask you why.
He's very sneaky.
I'm going to toast my buddy and friend of the show, Ross Tucker. I think I worked with Ross years and years and years and years and years ago at Sirius, when it was just Sirius, not Sirius XM. I think it was his first job, maybe his first real broadcasting job after his playing career was done. And I can remember like talking to him about like what he should do, where he should go. Didn't have kids at that point. I think I was just married. I mean, we were babies. And now friggin' Ross is part of the CBS on NFL and CBS crew, doing a handful of games, I think with Tom McCarthy this year. Yeah. I can't believe it.
He's terrific.
He's awesome. He deserves it. It's only going to keep getting better for Ross. But having been around him like from the beginning when he was just figuring all these things out, I can't believe how much success he's had. And I'm so happy for him. I'm so proud of him. He's got a couple of games early in the season, because that's when there's the most games on the networks. So hopefully soon he graduates into one of the teams that works every single weekend. But for now, the fact that he's in the family, in the big chair, so to speak, on an NFL Sunday on CBS, huge booskies to Ross Tucker.
Booskies!
And I was looking for soundcheck stuff. His podcast had a lot of really cool stuff that almost made the show several times this week. So definitely want to shout him out as well.
And Ross loves his beer, so he'd appreciate a booski, and he'd have a good suggestion of what we should be toasting him with.
Yeah, he's a big IPA guy, right?
Yeah, which is not my favorite
right.
Style, but it's fine.
I heard him call a game for the first time. I don't know if it was last year or the year prior. He was doing some Westwood One stuff. He was doing a couple of national games. He really is terrific.
Yes. He's very smart.
Yeah.
To me, he lives in the perfect, he's in the perfect like, sweet spot of like goofy offensive lineman, but also like professional broadcaster with like actual thoughts and actual takes. He does his homework. He knows everybody. I couldn't be happier.
He doesn't bludgeon you with the locker room chalk talk, the A-gap, too high safety shell garbage that I don't want to hear anymore. He is like the perfect everyman, call the game for me. He's great job by you both.
And now that I think about it, he likes this show. He listens to the show. He might be listening right now. Now, I think he often listens doing like school drop-off, which is not happening at the moment, so we might no longer be in his daily rotation, but on top of me liking him and loving him and being happy for him, he loves the show. We love him as a show. So we couldn't be happier for Ross to be a part. I'm trying to think now. They hired Chris Lewis as a new play-by-play guy. And Tiki.
Tiki, yep.
Tiki's got a full slate of games for CBS. So some new blood in the family on the TV side. And it's cool that we know two of them pretty well around here.
Yeah, and you said Tom McCarthy. Now, is that a full-time addition for him? It sounds like he is slotting into like that five slot now that Greg Gumbel's no longer calling games.
So it's possible that I have the wrong partner for Ross, or maybe Tom always will have games with different partners.
All right, because Adam Archuleta's part of that is that I...
Yeah.
I guess we could just pull up the press release that they came out with
that yesterday. That would be fair. But either way, I can't believe, A, that we're here also too, that we need to have announcer assignments for football games. That's how close we are to actual games. But again, booskies to Ross. Your toasts keep coming in at CBS Sports Radio, at Andrew Bogish. Thanks everybody who's toasting all of us for holding it down so far so good through these 4 days this week in this new version of the DA show. You'll get, you know, a partial look at new things starting on Monday when Pete's back in his chair. DA's back in this chair. I'm back in my chair. And we're hoping, I don't know, I'd love to go, and I know DA wants this too, to make kind of the interview process as much of an on-air thing as possible. Obviously, some of those things need to be done in private and with like confidentiality and whatnot. But we're going to take you inside as much as we can as we figure out who gets to hang out with Pete in that little glass booth for the foreseeable future. Big Lair, hey guys, I'm toasting my wife. Not only is she a full-time worker, she never complains and does more than she has to for my daughter and I, not to mention she's about 10 times out of my league. Hashtag Booskies, hashtag Supermom.
Booskies!
That's the thing, man. If you, we should all be marrying up. I am definitely not good enough for my wife. I don't know how we tricked her. I don't know how she continues to be tricked, but that's the place you want to be in, where you are the lesser of the person in the relationship, where you're the one reaching upwards and for some wondering why this amazing person is even wasting their time on you. Wolf Stars, Waya Nkwisi, a.k.a. Mike, I'm toasting the hashtag hard hat people who are always eager to help the show succeed when the regulars are on vacation. Hashtag Thirsty Thursday, hashtag Booskies.
Booskies!
Adam, the former bath guy, I'm toasting my daughter. She celebrated her 19th birthday this week and is making me feel old, being that I'm only 39. All right, Adam, the former bath guy, having fun at 20.
Yeah.
Booskies!
I mean, it's bad enough that I'm 43 and my daughter's almost 13. Like, I don't like that math. But if my daughter was halfway through college...
You imagine?
No thanks. Oof. I feel old enough as it is. Sparks Gang 330. What's up, fellas? I'm raising my glass to my little cousin getting married this weekend in Michigan, and also our 7th and 8th grade football teams having a 7-on-7 tourney over the weekend. Fun days ahead. Hashtag Booskies.
Booskies!
Keep those coming. We'll read them throughout the morning.
And now, with time running out in our Thursday program, it's time to get stunned.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
This one comes from our good buddy, Rob in the 321, a Glasgow homeowner living in hell as up to 20 giant rats invade her communal garden. Residents in a multi-story Glasgow building have lost their communal garden to a gang of giant rats. The huge vermin have wreaked havoc on Earl Street. Brenda Smith has now been forced to stop taking her bags out after a rat ran over her foot one afternoon and now asks her husband Edward to take them out instead. The couple have lived in their ground floor flat since 1978. The 65-year-old says the issues with the rats has gotten worse over the last year and claims they come out during the day and night. At one point, she witnessed up to 20 rats roaming freely in the garden.
Ew.
And now the husband gets to take out the trash instead.
And wait, we don't know where the rats are coming from?
We don't. And now they're worried.
You.
I can't leave my window open in case they come into my house. I like to sleep with the window open, but I can't. Well, she thinks that they're coming from the River Clyde. It's a walkway that's connected to her back garden. She fears the situation could get really bad, as if it isn't already. And she claims that bin men, I guess what they call garbage men, are refusing to collect bins. And as a result, now the rats are infesting.
We've had different stories like this, houses being overrun by different problems. What would it take for you just to pick up and move? Like moving
snakes.
Snakes. Yeah?
One snake. I would burn my house down with me in it.
Like,
I'm terrified.
One snake where?
I'm terrified of snakes, dude.
Right, but it'd have to be like in a weird place, like in a cabinet.
You know those stories where like somebody's sitting on the toilet?
Yes.
And it crawls up through
right.
The pipes? Yeah, that's my ultimate nightmare.
Okay, now that's different than like a snake slithering through your backyard.
Ugh. I can't even think about it.
No, he's right. I mean, snakes? No. That's the end for me.
But plural snakes? Like a snake infestation?
Yes.
No, even one, I think, is enough.
Really?
I mean, yes. Snakes can kill you.
I am terrified
of
snakes.
I guess, I don't know if a rat can kill you. I mean, I'm sure maybe poison.
A group of rats
could chew you up,
right?
But like one snake can kill you. If it's the right kind of venom, right kind of poisonous, like, no. I'm not dying.
See, now
via
the
snake.
The lady that I live with, my better half, she's terrified of spiders. Like, even the tiniest little house spider, if it's up on the wall, she'll scream from across the apartment,
okay,
go kill it. That doesn't bother me. Little spiders, I don't care about that. Snakes, if we see them, like, when we go on hikes and things like that, she'll pick it up, no problem. She's cool with that. I see a snake, I couldn't get further and further away.
Wow.
I don't know what it was. I didn't have any particular childhood trauma.
Right.
At least ones that I haven't blocked out of my subconscious. But I am deathly afraid of snakes.
Like, I couldn't be a wrestler in the 80s fighting Jake the Snake.
Oh, God, Robert, those clips.
Because he would beat people and then just put python on you. Yeah. And like, you'd just take it. You didn't know what was going to happen.
You know,
those guys are the bravest men alive.
You know when they drape them over their neck? Like, they take pictures with, like, a large boa or something like that?
Yeah, Britney Spears at the MTV Music Awards. Right. She did that. Like, yeah, no.
Mm-mm.
Can't be me.
Yeah, that would do it for me.
Ryan, you seem tough. What would you put up with? You're not? Oh,
no,
okay.
Snakes are a no-go. Indiana Jones scarred me.
There you go.
Wow.
Anaconda scarred me, too. My dad made me watch that movie, and I was way too young.
Snakes on a Plane.
Anaconda. John Voight.
Yeah.
Nice.
Nice. J-Lo in that movie?
J-Lo's in that.
I believe she is.
Owen Wilson's in that. The dad in Jumanji's in that.
The dad in Jumanji?
Yeah. Forget the actor's name. He was also in The Mummy. He plays like the museum curator in The Mummy.
Isn't Robin Williams in the first Jumanji?
Yes.
What is he in Jumanji? What is he in? He's not the dad in
he
Jumanji?
Plays the, so, no. So, Robin Williams in the early part of Jumanji is the kid, and then he comes out of the game and he's an adult. His father, when he plays the kid.
Yeah, I don't remember that. I remember the newer ones because my kids have seen those. The old one was in the distance.
EJ, we forgot another one in Anaconda, Ice Cube.
Yes,
Ice Cube is also in Anaconda.
Yes, that is another one.
And John Voight plays a South American, like, adventurer slash tour guide. He does this accent. It is dog, you know what.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Because I think Pete will like it, but remember, Pete also hates Joey Votto. So I don't know how that goes.
Oh, I forgot.
He hates Joey Votto. He thinks Joey Votto, he doesn't think Joey Votto's in the Hall of Very Good. He thinks Joey Votto's in the Hall of Shame.
I just don't like him.
And he loves Mad Dog. We might need Pete to come in and hear this have some kind of tiebreak.
We could use that against him.
One more from Mad Dog, just because I heard this yesterday on Twitter, and I just love the guy.
Terms apply. Concerned with your play, 800-GAMBLER. Concerned with your play, why don't you call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What did he say?
He's a remarkable human being, and he is like that all of the time.
GAMBLER.
I was at Sirius when he came to Sirius.
Mm-hmm. We do not care.
So I'm sitting there on a computer, me and my buddies, we're talking, whatever, and introduce, he gets to me, oh, Andy, big tennis guy, right? And he slaps me on the ass.
Ow. 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 It really hit me.
And that was our first interaction.
That's incredible.
Starstruck. Called me Andy.
Who's your daddy now?
Remembered because he had was listening to the channel beforehand that I liked tennis and gave me a huge wind up congratulatory let's go slap on the ass. And
how great is that?
And he's the best.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Maybe tomorrow I'll leave enough time for all of this stuff, although tomorrow is a target demo Friday, so never mind. Today's poll question: what's the best way to impress Pete the Body during a job interview? 73% of you chose wear a suit, offer a friendship bracelet, 23%. Just 4% of you went with insist on a FaceTime interview. And all three of those answers played into things we discussed early in the show. Advanced analytics would tell you that 37% of managers believe that a person should always wear a suit to a job interview. 36% of managers believe the job position plays a role, while the rest don't care about suits as long as they look professional. Taylor Swift's friendship bracelets trend is a reference to her song, You're On Your Own, Kid, off the Midnights album. Supposedly, it represents making lifelong memories. During the pandemic, 47.6% of adults used FaceTime to communicate with family and friends. Huge thanks to our guests this morning, Paul Tenorio from The Athletic and Matt Mershiel from the Orlando Sentinel. As always, thanks to EJ, to Ryan, to Greg, to Pete, and to Cap. And thanks to you guys. A great Thursday. We've almost hit the finish line of this week without DA. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. We'll see you tomorrow as the mothership disconnects.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.